I'm Tana Weingartner in for Mark Purzel, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Dr. Colleen Begg is trying to save the lions of Mozambique. Thane Maynard speaks with her in advance of her appearance at the Cincinnati Zoo's Barrows Conservation Lecture Series on Wednesday.
Colleen Begg, thanks for taking a few minutes to be on the show.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you. It's always a pleasure talking about our project.
Well, Colleen, we're all looking forward to you when you speak soon at your lecture at the Cincinnati Zoo, but mostly we want to catch up on what you're doing with your work because it's remarkable. Tell us a bit about the Nyasa Lion Project.
Well, we've been working in northern Mozambique since 2003, and when I say we, it's my husband and myself. Nyasa Reserve is up in northern Mozambique on the border with Tanzania, and it's one of the last of the wild places on Earth. It's a truly spectacular wilderness. And when we arrived there in 2003, we realized that the lions were still there. There were more than 1,000 lions, as well as more than 350 wild dogs. And this is really one of the last places you expect to see these kinds of populations. And I'm sure many of you know that lions are in serious trouble. There are only 30,000 of them left in the world. And so this population is one of the strongholds left in Africa. And so we've been working up there with a Mozambican team from the local communities to try and reduce the threats to the lions there and make sure that they do survive into the future for both our children and, of course, all the communities up there.
Well, and it's remarkable work. Of course, Catherine Hilker from Cincinnati Zoo, where I work, and my daughter Lily were lucky to visit you a couple of years ago. And they said it is a beautiful place, but it is extremely remote. So I know the work you do has its challenges. But really the challenging part for all of us to comprehend is not that long ago. Certainly when, say, for instance, you and I were young, it seems like there were a lot of lions. So how in the world has it gone from hundreds of thousands of lions down to 30,000?
I think it hasn't happened as quickly as we think it has. I think it's just that we've become aware of it in the last eight years or so, when we all got together at a meeting in 2006, and a little bit before then, all the lion researchers, all the people working on the ground, and started to put together all the information we had. And because lions are such an iconic species, and we see them on National Geographic documentaries and television, and everybody goes on safari, you always assume that they're doing fine, because in the classic wilderness areas like the Serengeti or the Kruger National Park or in Botswana, you do still see lions. But the reality is that anywhere where there are communities, there have been conflict with lions, particularly when they're cattle, and lion populations have been crashing all over their range. And it's now time to actually pay attention, because we might lose them. And I often think that if we lose lions, what does that say about conservation and our abilities? This is the icon of Africa, and there are huge challenges ahead. And I think it's been a shock to everybody at what has actually happened to lions.
Absolutely. And so as a result, my understanding is, in addition to your field work with the lions themselves and other predators, you spend a lot of time working with people that live in those areas.
Yeah, what we've come to realize is that actually conservation is about people. I think when I was at university, I was a researcher, and I envisaged myself always spending time with wild animals, and I've certainly had the luxury of doing that and being very privileged to be able to spend much of my time just watching animals and recording what they do. But that is becoming a luxury, and what you end up doing is just recording the demise of the species. And what we really need to do is have tea, have conversations, and talk with people that are living with lions and having to deal with attacks, both of themselves and also of their livestock. Lions are getting caught in snares, which are being put up for wild meat. So lions are not even the target. And so a lot of our work and a lot of our time is actually spent in conversation, trying to understand how people view the world in which they live. And also, you know, you can't talk conservation to people who don't have enough food for the meal of that day. And hungry people cannot do conservation. And so we need to resolve a lot of food security issues and poverty issues if we are to be able to do conservation.
So tell us a bit about how that's working in Mozambique. Do you feel that the people who live in the region where you are, though it's a remote region, do you feel that they're saying, gosh, well, maybe there's a way that we could coexist?
Yes, I think we can. And I think there is a lot of hope. There are solutions. And one of the things that we're working on is finding solutions and things that we can put on in place on the ground. You know, living fences, which are basically hedges of a thorny plant to keep bush pigs out of people's fields, which also prevents the lions from coming in and then finding people at night and attacking them. We are trying to find alternative protein sources so people don't have to look for bush meat. I think the thing that we always have to understand is that we need to find sustainable solutions. We don't need to come in with our own sort of Western perceptions of what's going to work. There have to be things that are locally already there that maybe we just need to tweak to make more successful. Goat corrals. There are many different things that we're looking at. And the most important thing is to include communities right from the beginning so that they are part of this whole solution and that they can also guide us in what is appropriate for the lives that they live and not to be arrogant and come in and think that we know exactly how to do this because we don't. And I know that Keith and I know that he would agree with me, we've learned as much from the communities in Niassa as I think they have from us. And this is an ongoing process. And the other thing is that these are very dynamic communities and places that are changing all the time. Cell phone towers are going up, roads are being improved. And so if you think that you can't just put in a solution and think that it's going to be successful, you have to keep monitoring it and keep adapting it. And certainly I'm learning a lot and a lot. Nothing really that I learned at university is very helpful, but it's keeping us on our toes.
Well, it's remarkable. It really is. Now, many people listening would say, well, gosh, this is such an adventure. They're out there in the African bush. This is so exciting. But you're also raising two small children in the middle of God knows where. So I'm sure that even the local people there must think perhaps you're a little crazy.
I actually think the reverse. I think that when we brought our children into the bush and both of them came in there when they were 3 months old and Ella's turning six this year and Finn's just turned four, I think it made an impact on the communities that we were there to stay. That basically they're our neighbors. We are part of that community. This is we have a very long-term view. We, 20, 30 years there. We hope to be there, until we're too old to do what we're doing. And I think that actually bringing our children in and being committed to this made us seem a lot more normal to everybody there and helped to integrate us into the communities.
Well, that's great, because I know it is remarkable and a task and a half. I know in developed world, whether that's in South Africa, where I believe you grew up, or in America, you teach kids don't run in the street, watch out for cars. I'm sure there you have to warn them about predators.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's very similar in many respects in that you have a few very simple rules. We have a very low bamboo fence around our camp, and it's not to keep animals out because it doesn't. They just come straight through, but it's really to keep the children in. And so that we were able to make a rule just to say, don't walk off by yourself. Don't pick up anything unless you ask us first, because there are obviously a lot of poisonous snakes and things around. But the children are very adaptable. They learn very quickly when we say something that we mean it. And I think that's very similar. The dangers are there, but you manage them and you just try not to be neurotic. In fact, our major problem is not animals. It's not lions or leopards. It's actually malaria. And that, to me, is scarier than any of the other wild animals.
Yeah, that's no kidding. But hopefully you all have, especially your children, been able to stay safe. So tell us what you feel the future looks like when you think of a nation like Mozambique, and like every nation, it goes through all sorts of changes and growth. Look forward, as you said, toward the end of your career, it's 30 years from now. What do you feel about the lions of Niassa?
Well, of course, my hope would be that Niassa is still there as this incredible wilderness and people are still there, and somehow we have found a way to allow lions and people to coexist. And that will really take people appreciating that the wild wilderness and animals like lions have a lot of value to them, both culturally and economically. And I think that is the future. And while for many people it's very hard to give an animal a value, I think that the reality is that we need to be able to do that. And that if we could have some form of ecotourism in Niassa where people could see, where the communities could see that lions are valued and that they actually bring employment and they bring food security and they bring money into those communities to alleviate poverty, then this is all possible. So I'm an optimist. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't. I think the most important thing that I would like to say is that really the time for anyone being territorial about their project is over. I'm not the only one working on lands, and there are a lot of very good projects out there, and we all need to work together to get this right.
That's right. Well, listen, that is a great closing message. I appreciate very much what you're doing, and I'm very delighted that you'll be here at the Cincinnati Zoo soon. So I look forward to that, and thank you for taking some time today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I'm so looking forward to coming to Cincinnati and seeing you all there. I know when Catherine came into the field with us, it was really wonderful, and everyone still talks about it. So it will be wonderful to see you in your hometown.
My guest has been Dr. Colleen Begg, founder of the Nyasa Lion Project in Mozambique. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.